Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey, everyone. I want to welcome you back to Blue Collar BS, the podcast where we debunk the myth that we can't find good people in the trades industry. And today we have a special guest. But before we get into our special guest and, you know, have these awesome discussions about debunking some myths, I kind of want to talk about what it really looks like with the multi-generational workforce and a lot of the myths that are coming out with Gen Z and how they don't necessarily want to work in the workplace. Is that really true? So we brought on our guest today, Brett King. Brett is the CEO of Exploring Potential. He has spent the last 15 years working with some of the world's leading organizations across several unique industries, providing solutions for developing a positive company culture through training, communications, and change management strategies that ultimately save time, money, and increase revenues and efficiencies. Brett's an award-winning, Emmy award-winning, nominated director and producer with an accomplished background in media, television, and advertising. Brett applies his experience engaging audiences of all kinds to create talent solutions in organizations or departments of all sizes. His work has been recognized with multiple Addy Awards and an American Business Award. Brett, that's amazing. Welcome to the show, Brett.
Oh, thank you, Steve. It's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So we were introduced through a mutual contact. And I just want to say just sincere thanks for joining us today to talk about debunking some of these myths that we see in the workplace today.
So thank you for doing all you do. I know you got more to that, but I just want to stop and say, mutual friend connected us, I was thrilled. I listened to a couple of your episodes and I was just like, we need to be talking about this. So yep. I love what y'all are doing here and please keep doing it. I think it's good for everybody.
No, thank you very much. So I almost forgot. So before I forget, which generation do you identify with?
Yeah, great question. So I would technically be a millennial.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Didn't have you in that category. So awesome.
I present a bit older, I'm told.
So awesome. So and for our guests, you'll notice that, you know, I didn't introduce with Brad because Brad's out at a charity event. So we can, you know, recognize and kick the boomer out for a little bit and, you know, we can have a little fun. So yeah, a lot of in the workplace today, there's a lot of, I would say, myths around the Gen Z workers coming into the workforce, mm-hmm. You know, specifically, you know, the ones that we hear a lot in the trades. Well, we've got a lot of lazy kids that don't want to come in. They come in late. They're always on their devices. So in your experience, kind of talk to us a little bit about what you've seen with the Gen Z workforce.
Yeah, great question. I think there's, you know, they're myths for a reason, right? There's certain things that are, you know, you may see more of, you may see less of, but I think there's so much more to it than what is typically talked about on the surface, which is why I love this show, right? You are actually digging in and examining this at a deeper level. I think some of those myths of Gen Z being lazy or they don't want to work, from the work that we do, what we see is that's really not true. Gen Z is actually looking for meaning in their work, and yes, they are looking for a different management style. Now, I don't want to sit there and say and then place the blame on an older worker who is maybe in a different generation and say, oh, no, this is your fault. You have to adapt, right? I actually look to the companies and say, how are we supporting our leadership in a way where they're going to be able to support the next generation of workforce? And I think that's where the disconnect is. It's not so much you can put a generation in a box and say they do this or they do this other thing. There may be some generalities there, generalizations, we'll say. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can just lump a group together and say they do this and this and what are we going to do about it? Or, you know, it just is what it is. They don't want to work. It's not true. Right. They're looking for something different than you and I might have looked for in a job. And what's happening is those people in those leadership positions who are meant to manage this new generation of workforce, they don't necessarily have the tools or capacity or support from a development standpoint to lead those individuals. And that is it is a learning curve. There is a new skill set that comes with that. And I think that's where a lot of companies are falling short. Not a lot of managers or not generations, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the boomers need to adapt. No, that's not true. They need, everybody needs to adapt to each other. And it's on these companies to provide those resources.
Right. So you kind of talked about two prongs here. So let's go down the first prong first, where we're talking about the younger generation looking for something different, some more meaning in their work. Do you mind elaborating a little bit more on what you've seen as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we do a lot of work with movie theaters through our company. And so we get to see a lot of the younger workforce, Gen Z, and then, even what's coming after, which is kind of hard to believe, just because they do employ so young. And so, what we see is they are interested in the values and the culture of the company. What does the company stand for? What is the company culture like? What do they value and how do they give back? How do they show up in this world? Those things are more important to Gen Z in particular than other generations. And so they're spending the time to look on the website. What does this company stand for? Do they align with my personal values? Because when they go to work, they go to work and they want meaning in their work. That's the other thing too. So I think it's actually two separate things. I think one is vetting the company itself and knowing that the company stands for something bigger that resonates with them.
Yep.
And then two, it's really understanding from their own perspective, just going back to, where they want to get that value out of their job as well. Like they want to feel like they're doing something good or meaningful with their time. So that could be as simple as an usher at a movie theater. They're hired to sweep popcorn. That might be your on the surface job description. But actually what they're doing is creating a cleanliness and clean environment for guests to come in and have an elevated experience.
Yep.
I've suddenly now connected the dots between you just sweeping the floor and you having meaning behind why you're sweeping that floor. And that's what this younger generation needs. They need to connect those dots.
Yeah. And that's such a key nugget that we see a lot of people missing, is helping these younger people connect the dots. Because for most of us, I'm going to put myself in that older generation, right? Not quite boomer, and Brad teases me a little bit that I'm right on that edge of being a millennial. But when we look at it, we are so much in X's and O's, like do this, do here is what you're doing. We're so focused on the task that we do forget to relate the meaning to those tasks. Like, why is this important? Why do I need to do this? And when we're asked these questions, we often get pissed off because we're like, just shut up and do the task. I'm not here to tell you why, because it doesn't matter to me.
You're and getting that's paid. That's why. Just go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's no fault of, I know you're picking on yourself here, but anybody in an older generation or any generation that feels that way, that's no fault of their own. And I think that's an important key point to make is they also need to be retrained and given tools to support what is then needed in the workforce, to realize just even to be aware that there is that they are going to have younger employees who are going to have a need to understand the why.
Right. So let's dig into that a little bit deeper. So this is the second prong then, where we have to come in, we have to have training for these leaders, whether they're boomers, they're Gen X, they're millennials, or even some of those older Gen Zs that are also kind of like on that border of millennial Gen Z, where they might not have quite grasped that why component yet, or they're too focused on the why and not as focused on the task. So when we talk about how to lead this younger generation, what have you kind of seen as some of those myths and then things that we've have to adjust?
Yeah, they kind of go hand in hand as you would expect, because I think the myths, we talked about them at the beginning. Oh, people don't want to work, or they're lazy, or they're screen heads, right? And like some of which may or may not be true. Like there is absolutely truth to this, you know, I don't even want to call it a myth, to this idea that Gen Z is more tied to their screen. They were raised on it. They grew up on it. It makes perfect sense. So from a training perspective, it's not put your phone down because I said so. It's if we have our phones out, we're not paying attention to the guests, right? Yep. It's once again, going back to the why. Going back more directly to your question though, from a training perspective, what we really need to focus on with our leaders is soft skill development, which is can be scary, right? Especially for you know, some people who have been doing things a certain way their entire lives, right?
Right.
But what the new generations are looking for, and there's been some research that's come out recently, one of the top two things they look for in a leader is empathy and patience.
Ah.
Empathy and patience is what Gen Z values more than anything in their leaders. And if we're going to sit here and say, these lazy kids don't want to work and they won't put their damn screens down and just go sweep the floor, there's that's why we're missing. That's why there's a disconnect between, you know, how each generation feels about each other or how a leader might feel. We have to arm our leadership teams with the soft skills, with emotional intelligence skills. Oh, I said emotion in the workplace. That's scary, right?
I know, right?
Yeah. That sends chills up your spine, right? No, it's like it's so funny because whenever we talk about emotional intelligence, I always lead with saying, that might sound scary, oh, emotions in the workplace, but this is something you're doing and navigating every single day. I'm just putting a word to it.
Like,
you're already doing this thing.
Right.
So it's skills like that that we need to arm our leaders with to make them better able to manage our younger workforce.
Right. So let's talk about that, because I, in my head, knowing the generation that I grew up in, where we're more hard asses with how we handle everything, and you're telling, you know, essentially you're telling the more experienced workforce, the Gen X and the boomers, that, you know, they may have developed, if they're working on emotional intelligence, they may have developed that, you know, over the course of, you know, their career. But most, I'm going to generalize here, you know, so you guys can flog me on social media for this, but most of us, you know, it's just shut up and do the job. So there is no necessarily empathy that we carry into this. It's because we were raised as being such hard ass, you know, just do this or you're going to get whooped. And we translate that into the workplace where it's just like, I want you to do this or there's going to be repercussions. There is that lack of empathy, that lack of compassion, if you will, for that generation that people view, those of us view as, hey, you're being disrespectful because you're in your screen and you don't really care.
Right.
So how do we help those that have that, I would say, mental block of that lack of empathy that is so needed for, you know, I wouldn't just say the Gen Z, but also millennials.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
You know,
I would agree.
Need that.
Yeah. You know, that's the toughest question, right? Because my answer to that, people might not like either, especially online, is, you know, let's just stir up the drama, right? Is how's your turnover? Is what I would ask. How's your turnover? How much are you spending on the cost of hiring? It's not cheap to hire an employee. It's $1,500 to $3,000 an employee, not to mention their salary, not to mention all this stuff. You got an average in the US, 52% turnover. I guarantee you that many of your listeners are much higher. Maybe you got some that are lower, but majority are going to be a lot higher. You look at that and you say, if I do nothing, I'm paying all this money to hire a bunch of new people all the time because this is happening. I'm having clashes, right? Clashes with upper management who says, just go do the damn job. And Gen Z, who I need to come in and fill these spots, but who needs a different level of leadership. You start to, you hate to be the jerk to say, too bad, you're going to have to buck up and learn these new skills. But if you want your bottom line to improve, if you want your talent retention to improve, you're going to have to buck up and do these things.
Right. You're going to have to take a look in the mirror and recognize where the problem lies.
That's exactly it.
And most times, most people are not willing to look in the mirror to do that because it's so easy to blame someone else.
Especially if you can make broad sweeping generalizations that the internet agrees with. Like, it's nobody wants to work anymore. Guess what? They do. And we work with a lot of companies that are hiring and having no problem finding talent. So it's not, what is it? You know, we typically might say it's not you, it's me. it's not them, it's you in this case.
Right.
If you're having trouble with talent, it's a you thing.
Right.
It really is in this economy. And that's, you know, what I'll say that'll probably get me some online hate, but I'm going to tell anybody to their face.
Yes.
It's a you problem.
Right.
It's not a talent problem.
And until we can recognize and actually look in the mirror and go, okay, it's me. Fine. It's me.
Yep.
Let's do that. But then as I'm working on that, how do I do this with grace?
Yeah.
Right? How do I make those changes with grace?
Yes, with grace. So I love that. I think, you know, I think all generations, perhaps I shouldn't speak to sweeping generalizations, but I think, you know, when we talk about developing skills, right, this is where a training program or a continuous development program really comes into play. Because I think regardless of generation, the opportunity to accelerate your career or your skill set, like those are welcomed opportunities in general, right? Again, there's going to be exceptions.
Right.
But I think if those opportunities can come from the company, where the company is willing to invest in the training and development of their employees, you're going to get through this gracefully, because it shows that you're going to teach the right skills to the right people. And that's a graceful way of handling it. You can show like, hey, what we're doing here is supporting all of our people through this program. And I think if more people had, and matter of fact, ADP just said, put out a report that, you know, you have 50% less turnover with a strong employee onboarding and training program.
Yes.
50%. If you're talking about $3,000 to hire and your turnover is at 50%, like start doing the math on that and then cut it in half if you invested in a training program.
Right.
It's significant.
Yeah.
That's such a great point, because so many businesses that Brad and I work with, they're not necessarily so focused on the sheer amount of turnover that they have. It's just that they're in constant turnover. They're not looking at those dollars because they're not quote unquote paying them out, because, hey, they're in for a week and then they're out.
Yep.
They're in for a week and then they're out. Like, what's going on?
We run into that often of, you know, proving the value of a training program, because that's our core service, is creating customized, you know, completely custom training programs for companies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And often we have to get them to look and say, listen, your expense, this is not an investment that's an added expense. This is going to save you money.
Yes.
But what's tough is your expenses for this are hidden costs. They don't show up on your P&L.
Yeah.
But if you analyze your hiring and your turnover and the cost of hiring, you will be calling me immediately the next morning to sign up, because you will look at that and say, I can't afford to keep doing things this way. Mm-hmm. But because it's not on the P&L, to your point, it's just sort of not accounted for, that the turnover is so expensive that they need to do something different rather than, well, let's just put out another ad on Craigslist or whatever, wherever people are finding talent these days, right?
Oh, yeah. We talked about that so many shows ago, pulling ads on Craigslist. Yeah, you're going to find some winners there.
Yeah, exactly.
All joking aside with that one.
Yeah, that's a hot spot.
So as we look at the workforce today, and look at, I would say, let's look at it in two different ways. Let's look at those current business owners that are kind of like, okay, Brett, we kind of get what you're saying. What are our next, what is something we can tangibly do right now to help, you know, identify what those gaps are that we're having?
Mm-hmm.
So, and what can we like give our audience like one or two good nuggets that they can go do today in their business to help address the gap of, you know, with their hiring.
Love it. So two things right off the cuff that I would recommend. The first is analyze your true cost of hiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to do. You know, just take the resources that are going into, you know, the time spent, everything from posting an ad that a position's available to, you know, through the onboarding paperwork, through the initial training, truly look at that whole process and do a quick cost analysis. What are your hard costs associated with that? And then you'll understand, because you'll also know your turnover rate. That should be pretty easy to figure out.
Yep.
That will give you an idea of like how inefficiencies may be impacting your turnover. And if you have no problem there, great. You know, that's awesome. But at least you'll know your truth, right, at that point. So that would be my first recommendation, is analyze your true cost of hiring, because that's where you could make up some serious ground by just tidying things up a little bit.
Yep.
And then The second piece I'd say, if you knew that, or if you wanted to just skip to this part, because they're not exclusive, right? You can do one or the other, you could do both, it doesn't matter the order. If you were to pick any subject to develop your entire team on, as far as a new skill set, emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Just invest in some emotional intelligence training for your team, or honestly, YouTube, like there are free resources out there, but I would say the subject of emotional intelligence for all generations of your workforce, including your frontline employees who aren't even leading somebody.
Yes.
That is where I would spend my time and money if I had nothing else.
Yep. Awesome. And then the second part of this question is looking at those younger generations, that young generation coming into the workforce. What are two pieces of advice you would give to them?
Great question. So I think the same thing. I think, first of all, I would give the same exact advice as the second part of my first answer is, even if you're doing it yourself, invest time in understanding emotional intelligence. The second piece, just knowing what we know, is the advice I would give them is, you know, they're looking for patience. And I would say we need to exercise patience as well, because we're all learning. We're all learning to coexist. And, you know, now in my head, this person is going to a company that's like on the right path, right? So my words of wisdom there are like, you know, look, have patience. Your leaders are learning as well, you know, and that's the advice I'd give. Now, again, that's the assumption that the company is on the right path. If the company is not on the right path, the honest to God advice I would give that younger person is look for the company that's on the right path. Because again, it's their right. world. It's the talent's world. They get to pick.
Right. Well, cool. Well, Brett, it's been great having you on the show today. What can our listeners, you know, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So you can find out a little more about what we do at exploringpotential.com. If you're interested, we do have a podcast called the Exploring Potential Podcast, which is just /podcast. If you go to exploringpotential.com, that is definitely the best place to reach us. You can certainly reach out at via email at info@exploringpotential.com. And somebody from our team will get right back with you. But like I said, we're happy to help with anything, hiring, training, onboarding, development. That is our wheelhouse.
Well, awesome. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us on the show today. We greatly appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. It's been a joy. This is, I have a feeling you and I could talk for a lot longer, but then your episodes would get way too long. So
This
is a joy. Please keep doing what you guys are doing. This is really valuable for people to hear. I appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And for our listeners, until next time, continue to debunk the myth that we can't find good people.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.